Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
When the truth is found.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Good morning, Ben, and it's going to be breezy again today. The trades are 10 to 20. Actually, they're out of the east more than they are trade winds. The high today is expected to be 90 degrees, so it's going to be a great day to play a round of golf. We had some amazing golf over the last 2 days. You know, it is the PGA Championship, the first major this year. Finally, we're getting into the majors. And after the amazing 66 Martin Keimer shot on Thursday, everybody's blown away, right? He went into a tailspin, finishing round two with an 82. That's golf. When you haven't played in a long time, and that was the case for Martin, Tiger Woods managed to keep his ship steady with brain power. He made the cut just above the number. Even after his 68 on Thursday, he pulled off a 72. Jordan Spieth, Phil Mickelson, and Ian Poulter made the cut on the number, plus one. Rory McIlroy, Gary Woodland, they're in at one under. Three remain in just about the same position they were in yesterday. Jason Day dropped a T2 with Brooks Koepka, Justin Rose, and Daniel Berger. Out of the pack, up races two outliers on the day. Tommy Fleetwood, who scored 64, the day's best round, and Haotong Li, who fired a 68 and alone leads the PGA Championship. I think this is the first time a man from China has been in the lead at a major championship. It's fantastic. Now, Fleetwood had some words of wisdom for us because he hasn't been playing competitive golf. And he said, if you've been playing easy courses for months, you really have to adjust your mindset to handle the tough ones. We're going to be talking with Ron Syrak, a PGA championship. He's covering for PGA of America. He has the PGA Lifetime Achievement and Journalism Award. We'll talk with him right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Let's bring in Ron Syrak, Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement and Journalism Award winner, LPGA Media Excellence Award, and author of Vision 54 Trilogy. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron.
Danielle, thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. I left out one person who's also T2 because so little is known about Mike Lorenzo Vera. He's also 6 under. I think he's surprised. He was talking about how in debt he was from all the travels in Europe. Do you know much about Mike Lorenzo Vera?
No, only that he hasn't won on the European Tour as well as the PGA Tour. I think he's got a Challenge Tour victory over there, which is their version of the Corn Ferry Tour. He had a chance to have second place all by himself and then made a bogey on the last hole. Actually, he was lucky. He made a good putt, about a 15-footer, to save bogey on the hole. He's one of those guys who just plays in Europe a lot and just hasn't gotten into the winner's circle yet, but popped out of nowhere, and it'll be interesting to see how he holds up on the weekend.
And one of the things he said is, honestly, I'm absolutely not comfortable. I just look like it. I mean, I can only imagine after winning on the Challenge Tour, that's your only victory, and being like 1,000 in the world rankings or something like that. That to find himself in the company with all these greats and Brooks Koepka, no less, going for his third PGA championship. Wouldn't that be something?
It would. The only three people since 1882, three men since 1882 have won the same major three times. You got to go back to Peter Thomson at the British Open in the 50s, and then Walter Hagen did it in the PGA. He did it actually four times in a row in the 20s, and then Willie Anderson at the U.S. Open in the 19-aughts back then. But, you know, when you talk about Lorenzo Vera, I mean, it is important to remember the PGA Tour, the PGA Championship has been pretty good at serving up surprises to us. You know, the Rich Beams and the Sean McKeels and the Y.E. Yangs. So if somebody like Lorenzo Vera or, you know, the leader, Hao Tong Li, hangs around, it would be in keeping with part of the character of this tournament.
And what does that? Why does the unexpected happen in a PGA championship?
You know, I don't know, except to say that the other three have characteristics that sort of weed people out pretty quickly. The U.S. Open is the most grueling of all of them. The British Open brings luck into play more than any other tournament, because you never know how you got to be mentally tough to handle the quirkiness that's there. And, you know, and Augusta is all about local knowledge and playing that course at the Masters. The PGA is more of just a pure golf setup. And, you know, you talk to the players this week, and they'll tell you about Harding Park. If you put it in the fairway, you got a chance to make birdies and score. Mm-hmm. But if you miss the fairway, it's really, really hard to get the ball in the green, let alone get it close to the hole. So what the PGA Championship does a lot is reward who's playing really well that week.
Yeah. can we bring up DeChambeau just for a second, Bryson? Because yeah. He broke his driver, but he didn't break his driver necessarily hitting with it. Wasn't he leaning on it?
He was picking up his tee, yeah, and he was using it to balance himself as he bent down to pick up his tee, and the head snapped off of the shaft. you know, fortunately, one of the good things about all the protocols for this tournament is that his car was right there in the lot with extra shafts in it, so they were able to, extra drivers in it, so he was able to get a replacement club out there. As long as you don't break the club in anger, you can replace it.
Oh.
And this was absolutely a replacement, totally an accident.
Okay, so that answers that question. Now, how about when he's walking, I think it was a practice round, and he mistakes one of the journalists on the course for a rules official and asks a question about being, what if I go into that compound over there? It's like, and the journalist says, just don't go there. I loved
it. Well, the good news is that he hasn't picked a fight with anybody yet this week. You know, he's sort of already done that twice since the restart, where he's gotten into little verbal altercations with rules officials and media people on the golf course.
Yeah. It's always something with Bryson. Ricky Fowler, every putt counts. I mean, oh my goodness. Wouldn't he been playing if he hadn't single-handed that or attempted to single-hand that final putt?
Yeah, you know, the poor guy just can't get a break in the major championships. That was about 5 years ago. He finished in top five in all four majors. And I really thought this is going to be his breakthrough. This is when he's going to prove that he's not just a nice guy, not just another pretty face out there. But he can't seem to break through in the majors. And then he, you know, and I'll tell you, the way Harding Park is playing, and as well as Kerry Hay, who sets up courses for the PGA of America, has his course set up, I think anybody who made the cut is still in the golf tournament.
Wow.
Because somebody could go out and shoot 65 today and get right back into it. We got minus eights leading right now, and then minus six is in second place. I have a feeling that minus eight will be leading at the end of the day. So, you know, look at Tiger Woods. He's at even par, made the cut by one stroke. He shot a 65 today, and he gets to minus five, and if minus eight's leading, then, you know, he's in the hunt going into Sunday.
Yeah, we're talking with Ron Cyrak, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement and Journalism Award winner. Also, he is writing for PGA Championship at PGA.com. So you can go under news. You'll find. So the reason I go there is you, in one of your articles, the headline is "New Putter Hasn't Made Tiger Look Like the Old Tiger."
So something that the classic Tiger has always done, made some good par-saving putts, those momentum-maintaining putts that allow you to gamble, because if you can make those 8, 10, 12-footers to save par, then you can take some risks. But then on Friday, it left him. He missed 4 or 5 birdie putts inside 15 feet, was in 5 bunkers and failed to make an up-and-down from any of them. And shot 72. He went from making about 150 feet worth of putts the first day to making less than 50 feet worth of putts the second day.
Now, we know that he can't practice the way he practiced putting, because that is a killer. Anyone with back issues knows it's a killer. What surprised me, really, was the sand play that he absolutely couldn't get out. And bunkers have always been like a magic for him.
Yeah, he's got the best short game I've ever seen. That's it. And I think part of what we're seeing is just overall, he can't practice as much as he used to. He can't work out as much as he used to. The one part of his game that he's doing really well right now is putting the driver in the fairway. And I felt for several years that needed to be goal one for him, because you know, when you're 44 years old, you can't play out of the rough on every hole like you can when you're 24 years old, you know. And Tiger's never been a particularly straight driver of the golf ball, but he's the greatest recovery player in the history of the game. But you can't keep doing that. And so right now he's hitting that controlled cut into the fairway. He's actually worked the ball off the tee both ways really well around Harding Park. But it was the putter that let him down.
Yeah, it really was. The special thing about the PGA Championship is that the PGA of America, the PGAs who make up all the driving force behind the PGA of America, who work at all of the different golf courses that you go to, they go through a lot of learning and become PGAs. And some of them are exceptionally good players. And I was looking for, Rob LeBritz, the 2010 and 2019 Low Club Pro, and made the cut at the PGA Championship. I couldn't find one PGA who had. Alex Beach, I think, was plus 4, Benny Cook 6, Bob Sword 6, Rob LeBritz 7, David Muttett 7. So this course, it's not easy.
No, I think three of the club pros made the cut last year. None this year. You look at these guys and it's amazing when they do make the cut, because they've got jobs.
Yes,
they're running golf courses. They're giving lessons. They're keeping their members happy. They're doing what they need to do, and they're not playing in these kind of. They're not playing a golf course as difficult as a major championship course is every week. And one of the things you can't practice is pressure. you only get experience doing that being out there. And they're going up against guys who are out there 20, 25, 28 weeks a year competing. And they're back. Trying to get a 15 handicap golfer down to a 12 handicap in their club.
Yeah, no, it's tough. I mean, you you're playing up against Brooks Koepka, all these guys that are they're actually if it's their life's blood. At some point, you transition from. It's like Brooks says, this is when I get up. This is when this is when I got enough adrenaline in me to really get excited, because other times I'm just not feeling whatever. No one will ever break Tiger's, made the cut record, because he took every tournament he walked in. I'm here to win, period. End of story. I don't see that. I was surprised to see Justin Thomas have such a tough round and just make the cut on the number after doing so well in the earlier. But they've been playing a lot, haven't they?
Yeah, they have, and Justin Thomas just in winning last week moved up to number one in the world ranking, and I had checked earlier today, and Justin he birdied four of the first five holes, so he could be one of those people who puts up a number today like 64, 65, and finds himself not that far off the lead. I'm seeing right now. He's at minus four under par for the tournament, so he's five under for the day already.
Wow. So there you go, right? All right. There are a couple of things. One person said the ESPN Plus, well, we got a lot of backlash, that you couldn't see a major for the first time without paying for part of it. So you go to ESPN Plus. The fee is $4.99. I think there's a tax added to it. But I'm told from one person is it was really worth the money. Others were very upset that they had to pay for a major, that they thought that was inappropriate. What's the feedback you're hearing?
Yeah, you know, there's really three layers of coverage. There's ESPN Plus, ESPN, and then CBS. And what they've done, particularly on Thursday and Friday, is those three layers of coverage essentially gave you gavel-to-gavel coverage of the golf tournament. ESPN Plus was there when the first group was on the air, when the first group went off at 7 in the morning, California time. So they did it from, so on the East Coast, that's 10 a.m. It was like 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. that was on Plus, and then it was on ESPN the rest of the day from 4 till about 10 o'clock at night. So I think people were pretty happy with the fact that they had a chance to watch somewhere all of the golf tournament. And that's just the world that we live in now. But you're paying for part of it, but there was also a big chunk of golf on basic cable both Thursday and Friday.
Absolutely. And that's what I watched. And then if I didn't catch something in the first wave that was on ESPN Plus, I got to say the Golf Channel did a fabulous job of getting me back up to speed so that I knew what I'd missed and I was ready. So another article, this is Ron Syrak, Golf Channel contributor, and he's writing right now for PGA of America at PGA.com, and just go under news. And one of his articles, Ron Syrak just wrote, stage is set for the weekend. You got anybody that you're really expecting to hang on, go for it? Dustin Johnson coming up there and Alex Noren, anybody?
Well, Dustin Johnson is four back going into the weekend. He's positioned pretty good. Xander Schauffele is somebody who seems to get in the mix in every major
yep.
for about the last 3 years now. And he's also at four under par, four back along with Dustin Johnson. You look at that group that's two strokes off the lead at six under par, and you got Brooks Koepka, Justin Rose, and Jason Day. And those are three major championship winners as you said earlier, Koepka's trying to make history here. He's trying to win three in a row. It would be interesting to see what happens there. The other interesting person in there is for about the last 3 or 4 or 5 years now, Tommy Fleetwood seems to put himself in contention in the majors a lot.
Uh-huh.
He seems to have a little bit of trouble with Sundays, but he gets there. And, is Tommy Fleetwood going to be the European version of Ricky Fowler and not break through? Or is he going to be, more like a Sergio Garcia and finally get his major championship?
I'm Ron, do you ever wonder how much they don't want to hear about us talking about them being the ones that couldn't, win a major?
Believe me, I probably, when I was at Golf World magazine, probably 5 or 6 years in a row, I wrote a feature story for Golf World from a major championship about Lee Westwood played really well, but didn't quite get it done. I wrote that story at least 6 times, maybe more than that.
Yes, it's really something. I mean, it must be so. Colin Montgomery, another one,
Colin Montgomery,
oh, my goodness.
Perfect example, yeah.
Goodness gracious. Ron Syrak, so good to talk with you. Thank you for being on the show with us.
Thanks for having me on. Talk to you down the road.
Talk to you down the road. Ron Czyrek is Golf Channel contributor. PGA of America is writing for them at PGA.com. You go there under news. You'll find all the latest information. And if you want to tune in, 5 a.m. is when it started in Hawaii, and that's 11 via ESPN Plus with a fee. That'll be 1 o'clock on ESPN going free. Then it switches over to CBS at 4 p.m. I'm giving you all Eastern time right now. So it's 5 a.m. that's on ESPN Plus, shifted over to ESPN at 7, and then it'll be 10 o'clock on CBS, so you'll be able to catch it all. Tomorrow it'll be an hour earlier than those times I just gave you. All right, we're going to come back. You know, there's so much going on in golf. Not just the PGA Championship, we have the U.S. Women's Am and the Marathon LPGA Classic presented by Dana. And, of course, we're going to bring in none other than the woman who follows them all, Beth Ann Nichols, senior writer, Golf Week magazine. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
You remember the story of Hezekiah, Mike? Wasn't he a good king that served the Lord? Yes, he was, but he also did something foolish. He let some strangers see all his stuff, and they came back later and stole it all.
Wow, bummer.
Some people today do that too. They have an open carport so strangers can tell if they're home or not.
Can we help people like that, Dad?
We can enclose almost anyone's carport and give them the security of an automatic garage door.
It'll make the home look nicer too.
Maybe if Hezekiah had rang your garage door, he could have kept his stuff. You just gotta call my daddy now. 676-3667.
This is Little Mike, and that was 18 years ago. It's never too late to call my dad. Rainer Overhead Doors, 676-3667.
Ready for a staycation? Now through Labor Day weekend, your Maui home away from home is Napili Kai Beach Resort. With fully furnished rooms and beautiful views from their spacious lanai, a two-night, three-day package for two starts at $559, and that includes a round of golf for two at the spectacular Kapalua Plantation Course. Upgraded rooms, additional golf available at great discounts. Come enjoy the crystal clear waters of Napili Bay and dine at the award-winning Seahorse Restaurant. Call 800-367-5030 to book your stay, Napili Kai Beach Resort and Kapalua Golf Getaway.
Cut it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment helps you get it done with Echo. Chainsaws starting at $199, and we throw in the chain. Maruyama and Echo Weed Eaters starting at $299. Husqvarna Model S at closeout pricing. Aloha Power Equipment at both Sand Island and Waipahu. Your landscape is growing.
This portion of the Golf Club is brought to you by Creative Plumbing. When your building's hot water system needs new life or a new high-rise system, new build or renovation, call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futuristone's master craftsmen can turn your townhouse complex driveway and sideway into beautiful self-draining areas, adding to the value of your project. Turn your concrete floors into colorful masterpieces with Futuristone. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Beth Ann Nichols, let's bring her in, senior writer, Golf Week magazine. Hi, Beth Ann.
Aloha.
Aloha. It's so good to hear you. Now, you know, I was talking about the U.S. Women's Amateur. I was talking about the Marathon LPGA Classic presented by Dana. But I want to start, of all things, with the Rose Ladies Golf not being able to finish their final. That was incredible.
Is that so 2020 or what?
It's so 2020. Tell us, what happened?
I know, heartbreaking. I mean, of all things, a fire disrupts play yesterday, and they thought they were going to be able to come back out and finish today, but it was just deemed too dangerous of a situation. So So unfortunately, they had to call it because thankfully, fortunately, there's actually going to be golf next week in Scotland on the LET LPGA co-sanctioned event, Aberdeen Ladies Scottish Open, and then the next week followed by the AIG Women's Open.
Right.
So that's a good thing that big tournaments with big purses are coming up, but just a bittersweet ending to an otherwise incredible series.
The Rose Ladies Golf Series, and this was a huge brush fire. I mean, the flames were so high, almost as tall as the trees, and based on that camera angle, the photograph I saw looked like they were, you know, just on the other side of the tree. The people who were running for their lives.
Yeah, I mean, it was scary looking,
wasn't it? I was like...
Yeah, I know. I've never seen anything quite like that from a golf tournament.
No. We're also watching some pretty incredible golf happening at the U.S. Women's Amateur. It's on Golf Channel today, and it's at Woodmont Country Club in Rockville, Maryland. Gabriella Ruffles, boy, she says something like, if she is behind going into the back nine, she's going to win, or... Something like that.
She's definitely blossoming into a special player. I think it's pretty incredible, given her background. She actually played competitive tennis at a very high level. Both of her parents were professional tennis players and didn't switch over to golf until she was 15. And she's only 20 now, already won the U.S. Women's Amateur once and has advanced to the semifinals this year, which is going on right as we speak on the Golf Channel. And yeah, I mean, it's a pretty fantastic story. The family, her brother plays professionally as well, sort of reminds me a little bit of the Korda family.
Yeah. Now, is she the defending champ like Danielle Kang
she
was?
Is.
Wow.
She is. She's looking to become the first female to repeat at the U.S. Women's Amateur since Danielle Kang, which is interesting because Danielle is in position to win back-to-back titles on the LPGA. She won last week at the drive-on and is in fine position here this week as well.
Yeah, and seeing, what is this, Lydia Ko, did she really come from tied for 101 up to the lead?
Lydia Ko,
it's a bizarre leaderboard that I'm not really understanding. All I know is she's leading by one stroke, 13 under, Jody Ewart shot off, 12 under, Danielle Kang, 11 under. Maria Fassi is 9 under. Now, there's a story. She got a... You tell it because you wrote it about her mentor.
Yeah. So Maria Fassi, of course, is from Mexico and counts Lorena Ochoa as a mentor and was trading text messages back and forth with her, and her mother said, you know, why don't you just actually, you know, pick up the phone and give her a call? And
so, what a concept.
So they did it the old-fashioned way day before yesterday, I guess, now, and they had a two-hour conversation, and she hung up the phone, and she said, oh, was that a pep talk? I'm not really sure, because Lorena didn't mince words. Yeah. She delivered it very simple, and she said, look, you know, whatever you've done as an amateur, it doesn't matter. You've got to restart. You've got to start from scratch as a professional, and gave her a lot of really blunt advice, which sometimes you need that.
Oh, that's good. She also said, you know, shake it off. Don't let all this stuff bother you. Just start from fresh on the next day.
And indeed she did. And what was interesting was, you know, Maria had said that she was having a hard time after she, you know, missed a putt, on the course, getting refocused and not letting it rattle her. And Lorena really challenged her to dig into what she was thinking about, what was going on inside her head, inside the ropes. And she said she was more aware yesterday than she's ever been of what she was thinking and feeling over every shot. And so I think, it was just a new mindset for Maria, and she carded a 66 and she's looking good right now. She's in fourth place and only four strokes back.
It's wonderful. This is Beth Ann Nichols. Now, you need to follow her at Golf Week Nichols on Twitter because she will write comments and she retweets fabulous other people's comments, and then she shares what she's writing for Golf Week, and you learn so much just by following Beth Ann on Twitter. Anne Van Dam and Sophia Popoff sharing the pull cart, and you described it so well. You said it looked like some antique, but it's exactly the Mercedes of pull carts.
Yeah, it was what I thought, but far away. It's so funny because I actually dug out my dad's pull cart from the shed over the quarantine when we weren't using carts, you know, way back when in April, May. And it was from, like, my dad's pull cart was, like, from 1955, 1960, literally. And this pull cart looks a little similar. And come to find out, it's actually handmade in Germany and of titanium. Wow. And runs about 2,000 euros if you were to go out and buy it brand new. So, and you can pick it up with one finger. So that's a little bit different than my dad.
Yeah. What is it? The Ticad Pro? The Mercedes of pull carts?
Yes. It's fascinating, really. She said you can fold it up. She started to show me, demonstrate for me how you fold it up. It looks like a binder, like a paperclip binder that travels so easily, this little square that you just, you know, take on the plane. And she said, you know, Sophia is German, and so the German national team uses those. And so she actually bought hers used discount. So she didn't pay that much money.
That's a good thing.
Fascinating.
Since we're not making a lot of money in women's golf right now, we want to change that. So the question was, of course, Anne Van Dam, Sophia Popoff sharing who, if they made the cut, was going to, what would they argue over? It turns out that Sophia made the cut and Anne did not. So there was no argument over that. I actually started looking for that to see if they were, but that's how you draw us in.
Well, apparently there was another pull cart in reserve that I'm sure was not quite as nice that they could have used. So what's interesting is Sophia actually caddied last week for Anne at the Drive-On Championship, and then this week, you know, they were both in the field, so out came the pull cart.
it's just great. And another beautiful story is about Sarah Hoffman. Who went back to work as a nurse during the pandemic. Like, we're in the middle of it still, you know, as the pandemic rages on, but she went back to work as a nurse. She's playing on a sponsor invite. What brought her back?
Sarah actually, has been doing this for years. When she graduated from school, she was a full-time nurse in order to lived at home to bank money to be able to come out on her own on the Symetra tour. So she didn't have sponsors, so she had to save money. So she used her nursing degree, saved money, came out on the Symetra tour, and then after that she would go back to nursing in the off season to continue to back her professional career. So she was coming out in the 2020 season on the Symetra tour, and then of course they only played in one event, and she said she couldn't sit around, you know, as this was happening, knowing the skill set that she has. And so she moved back home to Michigan and got her old job back and went to work. And then as soon as this Metro Tour restarted, she was back for her second job.
Wow. Which, of course, is something that is akin to a hobby until you start making a lot of money. It's so difficult. I just admire all of the work. Another one, Kylie Telfour, she went home to South Africa, and now she's back, but with somebody else's clubs. How did she work that out?
That story, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well,
I don't know that story.
Yeah, she had to go back to South Africa during the, you know, for the pandemic, but she wanted to come back to play. But they, for some reason, South Africa would not let her take her clubs with her as she came back.
How bizarre.
Isn't that bizarre? So she got back to the States in July with no clubs. And so I don't know. I don't know the why of that. And I don't have the connections to really research it. So I thought Maybe Beth Ann Nichols knows. She knows everything.
I might have to dig into that one. I mean, so many bizarre things have happened in 2020 that there's no rhyme or reason for. So
yes,
good question.
Good question. And how often do we see back-to-back eagles? This is from Bianca Pagdananans.
The Arizona, rookie.
What happened?
Bianca. I mean, talk about a nice shift up the leaderboard. And you know what's so great about having back-to-back eagles is that actually puts Bianca in the prime position to qualify for the AIG Women's Open, which is the formerly known as the Women's British Open. That's been a recent change and will be a long time for me to get that straight. But Bianca, a strong finish here in the top 10, she can maintain it this weekend, would put her into the Women's British Open, which is a huge deal for a rookie to be able to compete for a big time purse and really compete in anything this year, to be honest.
To be able to get into something, even this, you know, getting over to Europe for the Scottish and then going to the British would be great. And I'm going to call it the Scottish and the British just because it's easier right now. But I really want to thank AIG for stepping up because they increased the purse and they're really supporting women's golf and making it, giving you more money so that you can actually do all the traveling. The amount of expenses I can't even conceptualize. In the old days, in the 50s, when the tour started, they were able to drive from tournament to tournament. Mm-hmm. That was taxing enough, right? But at least you could share expenses, gas costs and all that, and hotel rooms. Now it's a fabulous world tour, but it requires a lot of backing. Now, I really need Lydia Ko. Is Lydia Ko the Bryson of the LPGA? Is she like, what's going on with Lydia?
You could say that on an extraordinarily small scale. Lydia certainly has put on some muscle over the break and attributes that to protein shakes. She said she, every time she leaves the gym, her trainer hands her one, and that she put on 7 pounds of muscle in the span of 2 weeks.
Whoa.
So, it's a little harder to keep that muscle on, which Bryson, you know, is experiencing the same thing, keeping his weight on when you're traveling.
Uh-huh.
So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how she keeps that up. But, you know, Lydia wore a pair of shorts yesterday, and we were all like, wow, her lower body is really strong. So we talked to her about that. She got a Peloton over the break. Converted a spare room into an indoor gym, and the spare room happened to house all of her trophies already. So while she was working out, she was staring at her old trophies. So maybe she can be inspired by that this
yes.
week. She hasn't won in over 2 years.
I know. That's why that inspiration is desperately needed. Okay, and there's a story that is a heartbeater. Blue ribbons are being worn.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about Cullen Brown. He died of cancer.
Yeah, at only the age of 20, a phenomenal young man. Cullen Brown was a standout freshman at Kentucky and was coming back for his sophomore year just after he'd made the cut at a PGA Tour event. He found out that he had a very rare form of bone cancer.
Oh.
And it took him in less than a year. And I tell you what, you know, this is the kind of guy that everyone you ask, you know, Cullen was their favorite guy. He was their favorite person at a golf tournament. And Emma Talley grew up in a really small town right next door to Cullen's really small town in Kentucky. And the Browns and the Talleys were best friends. They met through golf, and Emma's just completely heartbroken over losing Cullen. She talked to him pretty much every day for the last year as he had been battling cancer. And it was really tough for her because she was already scheduled to be mic'd up on the LPGA broadcast on Thursday. And Cullen died on Tuesday, and she decided she was going to pull out, and she didn't want to play. She didn't want to be mic'd up. And then she decided that that's what Cullen would want. And so the next day she changed her mind and said, you know, put me in, coach. It's this is where I need to be. This is where he'd want me. And Colin's funeral is actually today.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, you know, it cancer, when you hear about cancer, and I'm going to say children. He's 20, so he's a man, but at the same time, it's just tragic to take a loving person so quickly. And so, on that note, I wanted to thank the Ladies Amateur Association on the mainland because they made it possible. There was no qualifying for the U.S. Women's Amateur, and the USGA gave the Ladies National Golf Association two. So Rachel Kuhn, I think, she won the title for the second year in the row, but Marissa Ensler of Kentucky and Kennedy Pedigo earned their way into the U.S. Women's Amateur with their finishes at the Ladies National Golf Association. I just wanted to do a shout out to them for working hard, and to Mary B. Porter King, who was running the LNGA tournament, the 90th tournament for amateurs. Awesome. Wonderful talking with you. Is there something that I left out that we should touch on?
Well, no, I think the ratings, I will say that the ratings on Thursday were the highest ratings in over 2 years for a major or a regular season event for an LPGA tournament opening round. So that's a tremendous sign. You know, the LPGA is back, and of course, the men's major is going on and a lot going on this week. So just hopefully they can keep up that momentum.
Let's do it. All right. It's on Golf Channel. Okay. It's right after the U.S. Women's Amateur. Then comes the LPGA. It is the Marathon LPGA Classic presented by Dana. Thank you, Dana. Thank you to all the LPGA sponsors who've hung in there and have worked so well with Mike Wan to keep the LPGA tournaments floating, gathering monies together to create Drive On and just driving on. Thank you very much, Beth Ann Nichols, senior writer, Golf Week magazine.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Danielle.
Absolutely.
Bye.
Aloha. We're going to come back. We've got a young man. His name is John Peter Hagen. He's an author, and he lives in San Francisco, the city by the bay. That's really, really golf friendly. Did you know that? We'll be with him right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
Ready for a staycation? Now through Labor Day weekend, your Maui home away from home is Napili Kai Beach Resort, with fully furnished rooms, beautiful views from their spacious lanai. A two-night, three-day package for two starts at $559, and that includes a round of golf for two at the spectacular Kapalua Plantation Course. Upgraded rooms, additional golf available at great discounts. Come, enjoy the crystal clear waters of Napili Bay. Dine at the award-winning Sea House Restaurant. Call 800-367-5030 to book your stay. Napili Kai Beach Resort and Kapalua Golf Getaway.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range, located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And now, let's bring in John Peter Hagen. Play away, please, the tale of the sale of golf's greatest icon, the St. Andrews Old Course Starters Box. And he's working on a trilogy, starting with Pebble Beach and Other Chance Encounters, the novel, slated for release in summer. This year, maybe push back. Everybody's having printing issues because of, yes, the pandemic. A real estate developer and architect, a member of Hazeltine, an apartment in Paris, and a few rounds under his belt at the Albatross at Le National in Paris. Welcome into the clubhouse, John.
Who are you talking about?
You.
Oh.
Now, you, San Francisco, I was listening to John Cook on Golf Channel. Someone Tiger Woods often plays practice rounds with, a person people feel very comfortable being around. He says San Francisco has a love for the game of golf. And because of that love, it has spawned great public golf courses. That's interesting.
True.
It's true. How did that come about?
True.
How did it come about?
Well, I think it came about for a number of reasons. Certainly, there was the influence in the old days at the turn of the two centuries ago when the Hotel Del Monte and Pebble Beach came into play. They've been there now 103 years we're working on. You also had the influence then of a woman, Marion Rawlings, who lived in Pebble Beach and was instrumental in having some of the best architects in the world involved on a couple of golf courses she was working on, and it's just happened that way. I don't know if there's another definition for it, but today the pros are out playing on Harding Park, which is in its 94th year, I believe it is.
Wow.
And yet that is only, the tournament this week is only the first tour tournament that's been on it. But it's a golf course that the public plays every day. And the a residence card is $112, and the fees are somewhere between $64 and $180, depending upon the time of the week and the demand on the course. But there's also just a remarkable junior program on their nine-hole Fleming course, where the kids actually run the course.
What?
And are instrumental in it. So if you and I, Danielle, wanted to go play, we got to talk to the kids. But the course is probably going to be packed with them also.
Is that part of the Youth on Course initiative in California?
It is, and it's also, of course, it also has the cloud of the first tee and Tiger being a Californian and, in a way, a Southern Californian. But his influence is obviously all over the state, as is the influence of many other great golfers through the years, from Kenny Venturi to Johnny Cook, and you can go on forever.
Yeah. Now, what are some of the other great public golf courses?
Well, the quasi-public, you've got the very expensive things, but if you go around Northern California, generally, you can go to almost every town with a decent population, and there's a course. My son, for instance, who happens to be a member of Olympic, but last week he played a Muni in Napa, And he had the most fun he's had on the golf course in some time, and it cost him $22.
That's the way it should be. I mean, that's the way.
Yeah.
Now, we have some units here, and that's for the residents. You know, it's about that price, maybe a little bit more. But it's a wonderful way to get out with the family and just have a really good time. But having a PGA Championship or any large tournament, for instance, the President's Cup, doesn't that do wonders for a municipal? What does that infuse into TPC Harding Park?
Well, it certainly gives them the amount of money that changes hands the week of the tournament. Certainly gives them a good potful of money to keep the course in absolutely pristine condition. This year, nothing good has come out of the virus, of course, except the fact that the golf course has been closed much of the summer. It's been closed almost 5 months because of the stay-at-home restrictions. And even before that, the Muni members on it were not playing the course because the rough was up. And as one of them said, if we hit our ball in the rough, we couldn't find it. And balls are expensive, so we didn't play.
That's pretty funny. you have in your notes here, I was there story, Sneed, Tommy Bolt, and Dr. Kerry Middlecoff. What is this?
Yeah, the first tournament I ever went to was on a course called Keller Golf Club in St. Paul, Minnesota, 1954.
Also a public course?
And now there's a golf course that is still in operation, still operating. And I think the highest green fee today is $47.
Wow.
And that'd be on Saturday morning prime time. The rest of the time, it's a $25 bill. But that was 1954. And then the tournament was a Friday to Tuesday event because it was all match play. But first time I saw Sam Snead play, Tommy Bolt, Kerry Middlecoff, and a bunch of other names, and it was won by Chick Harbert, if you ever remember that name, who won 4-3 over the defending champion Walt Bercamo, and he won $5,000.
Wow.
A huge sum then.
But you mean he beat Sam Snead?
He beat Sam Snead. I think Sam finished sixth or seventh something. But to back to your that whole thing, yeah, it's nice that the USGA is looking to public golf, but there's not another true public course scheduled for a major tournament till 2031, which is very sad.
Yeah, do you know which one that is? Is that
I don't. It might be Bethpage.
I was thinking Bethpage Black. Yes, I think that's it.
And we've only had a few lately. You know, Torrey Pines, which is another public, but that's getting pricey again. Bethpage, Chambers Bay near Seattle.
That's pricey.
And the Open goes back to Torrey Pines next year, by the way. So
yeah, well, it's going to be fun.
It sure is.
And San Francisco embraces all of the people that would have been there if it had had fans.
If there was a real controversy going on, and it still is, and that is, as in Hawaii, the golf courses are very close to major thoroughfares, and there's a 300-yard portion of Harding Park that are along Lake Merced Boulevard, which is just that. This is not freeway.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, an enormous opportunity to let people come up and watch at the fence line and watch the tournament free, because it's strollers, walkers, golfers, local residents, bicyclists, and they put up a green canvas barrier the whole 300 yards so nobody can see in on the course.
What a shame.
What a real shame. And so the locals brought out their pocket knives and started cutting holes, like watching in a construction site, or at Wrigley Field in Chicago. And that created all kinds of turmoil, but it was absolutely a perfect opportunity for the PGA to really let the public, the common man, watch that tournament.
Yeah, we'll have to address that. John Peter Hagan, author, Play Away Please, The Tale of the Sale of Golf's Greatest Icon, the St. Andrews Old Course Starters Box, and of course working on a trilogy starting with Pebble Beach and Other Chance Encounters. Thanks so much for giving us some San Francisco insight. Really appreciate it, John.
Come visit.
Yeah, when we can fly again.
Well, yeah, when you can fly, and you can also, by that time, in a few months, the nine-hole course at Pebble Beach,
we'll be ready.
Peter Hayes,
yes,
is about ready to get its grass. It's been redesigned by Tiger Woods, who has done a masterful job. I'm very surprised at the quality of the golf, and I mean that without sarcasm.
I know you do.
And he's even doing a replica of the seventh hole on Pebble, without the ocean, of course, so that, again, the common man, for a reasonable price, can play something that resembles the seventh on Pebble Beach. And that's just great stuff for families.
Thank you for the insight. I really need to go.
Adios.
We'll talk soon. Thank you, John.
Bye.
Aloha. We're going to come back. There's something that's probably missing in your golf cart, and you didn't even know it. It's called Dryad Golf, dryadgolf.com. Go there. In the meantime, we'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
You remember the story of Hezekiah, Mike? Wasn't he a good king that served the Lord?
Yes, he was, but he also did something foolish. He let some strangers see all his stuff, and they came back later and stole it all.
Wow, bummer.
Some people today do that too. They have an open carport so strangers can tell if they're home or not.
Can we help people like that, Dad?
We can enclose almost anyone's carport and give them the security of an automatic garage door.
It'll make the home look nicer, too.
Maybe if Hezekiah had rang your garage door, he could have kept his stuff. You just gotta call my daddy now. 676-3667.
This is Little Mike, and that was 18 years ago. It's never too late to call my dad. Rainer Overhead Doors, 676-3667.
Did you know that Rainer Overhead Door is hiring? They're looking for installation professionals. They'll train you. You must have some mechanical ability, like knowing what tools are. Okay? It's Rainer Overhead Door. You just call them, 676-3667. By the way, are you ready for a staycation? Now through Labor Day, your Maui home away from home is Napilikai Beach Resort. Fully furnished rooms, beautiful views from spacious lanais, a two-night, three-day package for two starts at $559, including a round of golf for two at the spectacular Kapalua Plantation Course. Upgraded rooms, additional golf, available at great discounts. Come enjoy the crystal clear waters of Napili Bay. Dine at the award-winning Sea House Restaurant. Call 800-367-5030 to book your stay. Napilikai Beach Resort and Kapalua Golf Getaway.
Cut it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment helps you get it done with Echo. Chainsaws starting at $199, and we throw in the chain. Maruyama and Echo Weed Eaters starting at $299. Husqvarna Model S at closeout pricing. Aloha Power Equipment at both Sand Island and Waipahu. Your landscape is growing. It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
We are KPUA Hilo, K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu, K-O-N-I, Lanai City, K-T-O-H, Kalaheo.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water or worse, sewer pipes break or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Dryett Golf. Go to dryettgolf.com. Premier golf glove holder. Larry Evans is president and CEO of Dryett Golf Glove System, an inventor of this premier glove. And Ed Murphy is the Dryett Golf Glove System VP of Operations, Sales, and Marketing. Both gentlemen are with us this morning. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Danielle, and thank you. It's great to be with you today.
And Ed Murphy, hi.
Hi, Danielle. Good to be with you as well.
Absolutely. Good to have you on. I just want to thank you for sending me one so I really understand the concept, which is so simple. So, Larry, you're the inventor of the premier golf glove holder, dryettgolf.com. Tell us, what inspired you?
Many years playing golf with a golf glove that, in the summertime, is continuously wet.
From
your
sweat?
Clothes are wet.
From sweat?
And sweat, yeah. And living in Florida, you know what I'm talking about, I think. The southern hemisphere, it's just kind of, you know, most of the year it's hot and humidity's high. So I looked around back in 2011. I was like, there must be a product out here somewhere that I could put this glove on instead of trying to wrap it around the golf cart roof post or around the steering wheel or try to put it in my pants that were just wet. Wet gloves and wet clothes don't go together. And so I couldn't find anything, and I just started thinking about it and messed around with some Velcro and came up with an idea, worked on it, tweaked it out, put some ideas together, and formulated. And what we have today is a premier glove holder through the trial and error. And you put that on your golf bag, either snap it on or use the strap that comes with it, and you can attach it to a golf bag that way. Since it's two-sided, hook-and-loop material, the same as a golf glove, you can hang your golf gloves on either side of the glove holder, let them air out. Mother Nature will do a great job drying them, and you have them, a dry glove, as you play around the golf, keep switching them out.
I love it, because a lot of times when you put your glove, you know, like, it, you pull it back out again, and it's, like, got a new shape. And it feels all crunchy, and you've got it. It's like, oh, is this going to work again?
Yeah, no, I've been there, done that, like everybody else, you know. But all of those things went through my thought process, and I was like, you know, nobody else has done it. Why don't I give it a shot and let me see what I can come up with? So that opportunity was there. I stayed with it. I got it to where it is. I was fortunate that the United States Patent Office agreed with the product and what it could do. And so they issued a patent for that. And the rest is history. And we're just trying to get it out there for the golfers can do what, you know, we're doing and
hang this on your golf bag, and every time you go to that golf bag to get a club or put one back, this glove holder hangs there. You simply just touch your glove to it or pull it off, and as you sit, it's simple, but it works.
Now, Ed Murphy, how did you get involved?
Larry and I knew each other from working together, and we played quite a bit of golf together. And he said he was coming up with this idea, and I had just retired, and I retired from a career of marketing in furniture business. So I have a background in golf, and one and two make three, so we paired up.
That's great. So the Premier glove holder, it's two-sided, a hook and loop pad with snap connector. So the Velcro is on both sides, and it hangs like a bag tag. And you can either snap it, you're right, and you either snap it to your bag, or there's that, like a bag tag, it has a little, what are those things called?
A strap?
Yeah, a strap. Something really simple like that, right? A strap, and you can just strap it on. It's really cool.
The new generation golf bags don't have snaps around the collar, but they do provide these loops that you can put towels in or other items, and the strap works fine holding the glove holder there. The one thing is playing golf in a cart with our bag sitting in the back. We're going to go to that bag every time we go get a club, and we're going to come back to the bag when we're finished with that shot. And if you put your glove right there, it'll always be there when you're ready for your glove. So used properly and everything, it could actually speed the pace of play around the golf course. People aren't looking for their gloves or going back two holes looking to find where it blew out of the cart.
Yeah, or where did I put it? I know I put it somewhere. How come it's not here anymore? That sort of thing happens all the time. Yeah, did you come up against any production problems? It's always interesting finding out what the process was.
Daniel, we're fortunate. The product is made in the USA. It's assembled in the USA. And we have the resource and the production. Two great companies I came upon, and we have a relationship, and we have no issue with supply for this product.
That's great. That's great. Now, what if, let's say, the holidays are coming, or for some reason, I'm doing a virtual golf tournament, which is something the Ronald McDonald House is doing. So people are just going out and playing around, posting their score, and it's a one way for them to continue one of the most important fundraisers of their year. And I want to do something with a logo on it, and I can add it into for the swag bag for everybody participating. Is that possible?
Yes. Yeah, the logo process we have and the resource we have is about from time of approval of a logo until we get it in our hand is about 10 days, depending on, no problems. Once we get it in our hands, we can turn it in about 3 days and get it in the mail to the customer. So probably 2 to 3 weeks from start to finish.
Okay.
We can have it with a logo, back into the hands.
That's great. And then, of course, we can go to dryitgolf.com. Dry it, like dryitgolf.com. And you can see all, it comes in different, the strap can come in different colors so that you can choose which color you want so it matches your bag or your outfit for the day or whatever you want. You can just do it. All right. And then you know where to put your gloves so it's not all sticky and awful and doesn't end up being some sort of unrecognizable thing at the bottom of your bag. Thank you so much for being on the show. Larry Evans, President and CEO, Dry It Golf Glove System, and Ed Murphy, the Dry It Golf Glove System, VP of Operations, Sales, and Marketing. It's a pleasure meeting you guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you, Danielle.
Okay, aloha. We're going to come back. We're looking for Bob Herrig, ESPN, and he's with us, and he's over at the PGA Championship at what I think is an absolutely beautiful golf course. From the pictures I've seen, I've actually never stepped on TPC Harding Park, although we sent some winners there some years ago, and they loved it. So we're going to find out from Bob Herrig after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
You remember the story of Hezekiah, Mike? Wasn't he a good king that served the Lord?
Yes, he was, but he also did something foolish. He let some strangers see all his stuff, and they came back later and stole it all.
Wow, bummer.
Some people today do that too. They have an open carport so strangers can tell if they're home or not.
Can we help people like that, Dad?
We can enclose almost anyone's carport and give them the security of an automatic garage door.
It'll make the home look nicer too.
Maybe if Hezekiah had rang your garage door, he could have kept his stuff. You just gotta call my daddy now. 676-3667.
This is Little Mike, and that was 18 years ago. It's never too late to call my dad. Rainer Overhead Doors, 676-3667.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
Power at your fingertips. Aloha, our equipment.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the golf club.
Bob Herrig is senior golf writer for ESPN.com, and that's where we're watching the PGA Championship, either at ESPN Plus or ESPN, and he's with us right now. Welcome into the clubhouse, Bob.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, you know, when I used to watch the coverage of the Masters and what have you, but the Masters in particular, when I went to that golf course, I was just amazed at the dimensions that I could not see in TV world, and the magnificence of it, and the difficulties and the ups and downs and all the intricacies. Now, TPC Harding Park is not Augusta National, but is it? It must be harder than it looks on television. Somehow I get that impression. Is it?
Yeah, I mean, it looks really nice on TV. I mean, when I've seen the TV pictures, it just comes across great, especially when you see it from above and you see Lake Merced and you kind of see how it's a bit landlocked. But, I don't think it's easy by any means. I don't know how these guys do what they do. I've been here since Sunday. You know, I followed Tiger in the practice rounds, and if you hit it in the rough with no spectators, it was hard to find the ball. You know, and here they are. You know, these guys manage to shoot scores missing, you know, all but a few fairways sometimes. Not him, unfortunately, but some other guys. It's crazy how good they are. This place is set up pretty tough. It's windy. It's been cold most of the time, chilly. You know, it's just, it's not what they're used to playing in. Since the comeback, it's been heat and humidity everywhere they've been. And so now they get here and there's sweaters and, you know, ski caps at times, and it's just been odd, you know. So they, but they always seem to find a way. But I think the course is really been a nice representation for a major.
Yeah, it looks great. It looks great, and I like how they're having a difficult time with the rough. I kind of like that the spectators can't knock it down for them.
Right.
Right? And so that it gives us the full specter of the setup and how hard the superintendent has worked to make it the way they wanted it to be. Now, I've been in suspended animation, and I know Tiger's been on the golf course. Is he able to putt today?
He's not doing a whole lot better than yesterday. Now, he just did make a nice five-footer to save par at the fifth hole. He's even par for the day through five. But he's had a couple of decent looks early on, and it just seems to be out of sorts. I mean, he putted pretty well Thursday.
Yeah.
But he said something yesterday that's always kind of a warning signal when I hear him talk about it, which is the greens seem faster than they're playing. And most of us would like the greens to be slower. He's the complete opposite. He wants the greens to be faster. He's used to fast greens. He gets flummoxed by slower greens. It's always been an issue for him over the years. He's had to, at times really, really struggle when greens are slower than he's used to. That happens a lot at the Open over in Britain.
Yes.
It's why he's changed putters from time to time for weighting purposes and trying to deal with slower greens. But it seemed to really kind of catch him off guard yesterday. He talked about it afterward. He was leaving some putts short. He actually went out to practice putting last night when it was freezing cold here.
Wow.
And he worked on it for a while, which I think is a good sign, but also, kind of points out that he must have felt like that he didn't have it all figured out because he needed to put some more work in on it. And so far today, look, at least he's made all pars to this point, but he kind of needs to get on a bit of a run here to, I don't think he can get into contention anymore. I'm not sure about that, but he to at least move up the board and make it a successful week.
Yeah, so he walks away feeling like I've made some progress toward whatever it is the next thing he wants to play in. Do you think he's going to go for the FedEx Cup and the Tour Championship?
Well, he has some work to do to qualify for the Tour Championship. That's why this is kind of a big week, because now it's going to frame what he does. He's not going to play next week, and then there's three of those playoff events in a row.
Mm-hmm.
He's not at this point where he can be playing 3 weeks in a row. I just don't see that being viable. So what does he do? Does he sit out the first one and hope that he has a great week in Chicago, which is enough to get him in the top 30 and get to Atlanta? I think the reason he'd like to be in Atlanta is it's 2 weeks before the U.S. Open. I think he'd like to be playing then. Yeah. I think he needs the competition.
Yeah.
On the other hand, does he play Boston and Chicago and just sort of, figure I'll play them and if I make it, great. If I don't, at least I've played these two tournaments. It's going to be interesting, and I'm sure he's not going to tell us on Sunday what his exact plans are. But it's a bit of a mystery right now. I mean, this was always going to be difficult. It's one of the reasons I thought that he might play one of the events before the Memorial. He waited until the sixth week back to play, and now here we are in the ninth week, and he's kind of scrambling to be eligible for the Tour Championship, where, I think he'd like to be. I mean, I think he'd like to get there. It's where he had that huge win 2 years ago. He didn't qualify last year. And then there's the other reason, too. I think he wants to be playing and competing 2 weeks before the next major.
Absolutely. He wants to get some momentum, some sense of, I've got this. It's interesting, the slow, usually in majors, they want those greens fast. Is this a PGA championship, the PGA of America? Do they like slower greens, or is it just the weather keeping it wet?
Yeah, I think it's more the conditions. I mean, they're not slow by our standards.
Okay.
I mean, they're pretty quick. I mean, I'm sitting there watching these balls roll out and roll out and roll out, and I'm wondering what he's talking about. But yet, he's also basing it on, I think, the putting greens a little faster than the actual greens. He played late in the day yesterday. That's another factor. You know, they grow a little bit over 12 hours. You know, so they get a little bit fuzzier. They're going to slow down later in the day. And you know, they're bentgrass greens, which is not normal for California. Normally, these are poa, which are bumpy. They have a lot of seed in them, and they grow like so. He loves bentgrass greens. That's the kind that they have in the Midwest. You know, they're really, really smooth. They're quick.
Like pool tables.
They're faster than what he has in Florida and Bermuda. But for whatever reason, you know, they've flummoxed him this week.
Yeah, yeah. When I heard that they had changed it out to bentgrass, I thought, oh, that's great for Tiger. Oops.
Yep.
Switching up a little bit, what's up with Rory?
Yeah, Rory's not, he's just not been that sharp for whatever reason since the comeback here. You know, he was playing great in the spring.
Yeah.
For him, I feel bad. I think he was going to go into the Masters with, you know, just a ton of confidence and a lot of game. And then, of course, all that got negated. And he's come back out and he's played a bunch, but he's just sort of been a little off, you know. And he, yeah, like yesterday he gets on a run, he makes four straight birdies, and then he, two holes later, he makes a triple when he has a kind of a brain lock and three putted. You know, it just took all the air out of him. Yeah, you know, and I kind of expected him to be in it here. He likes a golf course like this. He won here 5 years ago when they played the match play. He, and obviously when it's a little bit damp and wet, that usually suits him. But for whatever reason, he's having his struggles at this point.
Right, right. And then I'm going up the leaderboard now, just at T33, and John Rahm's not having a great day. Number one player in the world, still? I don't know anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he had it for, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
And Justin Thomas took it away from him last week.
Yeah.
And I kind of expected better out of him here, too. So, but, you know, it's still a great leaderboard, all the people that are up there.
Yes.
Kepka's there again, and, you know, Jason Day, and, you know, a lot of good names. Daniel Berger, lots of good players.
It's a great.
Lee Haltong is not that well known, but he's a pretty darn good player himself.
Yeah, and to see Tommy Fleetwood shoot a 64 yesterday and just, like, rock it up. What was really funny when Lee Haltong was, you know, everybody was writing about and talking about on the coverage that now we have, you know, Lee Haltong is the leader. And I thought, wait a second, the leaders haven't even teed off. How can you declare that this guy's in the lead? Technically, the other guys still have a whole bunch of holes to bet it, but here he is. They didn't do that well, you know, and Tommy Fleetwood. Jason Day is holding steady. I'm really excited about that because, you know, one day, I always wonder when he's going to get in a cart and drive off saying he's not feeling well.
Yeah, he's been kind of quietly on a nice little run here lately, sort of putting it together. And, you know, he made a change with his coach recently, which people kind of wondered about, but he's been doing fine. You know, he's been inching towards getting back to where he was. And, you know, if it wasn't for he made a late double bogey yesterday, or he would have been tied for the lead. But still, good, very, very good tournament for him so far. It's maybe good for him that he's a group, you know, not in that last group. And it's, to your point, you know, he's had these back problems, too, over the years that have plagued him on and off. He's kind of hoped that he can stay healthy.
Right, exactly. Kind of like Tiger. Then, yeah, Daniel Berger, Justin Rose. If I'm not mistaken, Justin didn't do that well. Was it last weekend when he missed the cut and all of a sudden he's back?
Yeah, you know, it's not surprising though. That's, these guys, you know, they have their ebbs and flows, and he's a guy that I think we expect to be there a little bit more often. And he's also gone through some changes. He fell off a lot last year. You know, early in the year last year, he had gotten to number one in the world, and then he just sort of went south from there. And now he's not even in the top 10. So it just shows you how quickly it can change, you know, and how fast form can leave you, and success is fleeting. So he good to see him up back up there. Obviously, he's been working at it and still has plenty of game.
Yeah, he really does. He never, and what he did for the women in the UK was just amazing. The Rose series was just fabulous and gave a huge boost of morale to the women. And it was a real shame that brush fire on the golf course kind of ended the series,
yeah.
Right, with the Scottish and then the British women's and all that happening. I got to go to, of course, the one person we're all looking to. Will he be in modern history, the first guy in a long time to defend three times in a row a PGA championship? Yeah, you know, Brooks Koepka, watching him lying on his back with his physio doing this leg maneuvering because he's got hip tightness, and I'm like, well, it's not my knee, it's my hip. But see, the problem is it the same side of his body as the knee?
It is, yeah. The left leg. When that happened, nobody was quite sure what was going on there. It did sort of look like they were working on his hip, but he did that three times. You know, I mean, three times during the round, he had his trainer come out there to basically, it looked like he gave him an adjustment.
Uh-huh.
You know, like it was almost like a chiropractic adjustment with his hip, and he was, you know, doing stuff with his foot and all. I mean, and then when he talked about it afterward, he acted like it was no big deal.
I know.
So he kind of just sloughed it off, like, you know, no big, I'm fine, it's okay. But I mean, you know, like after you have that done, like, are you going to be all that, feel all that great about standing up there and taking a rip with a driver? But that's exactly what he did.
He did.
Then he ended up having it done two more times. But yet he still, you know, he finished fine. Obviously, he birdied the last hole. He got to two back. He's tied for second. And I don't know. The guy's amazing in these big tournaments.
He really is. He really is. It's going to be a great weekend to watch. This is PGA Championship, our first major of the year. We're talking with Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN, and you can watch it all on ESPN Plus and ESPN. Thank you so much, Bob, for taking time out of your busy day and joining us inside the clubhouse.
Anytime. Thank you.
Aloha. All right, we want to thank the people who make this show possible. Oahu Extraction, the flood mitigation company across the state of Hawaii, not just on Oahu, called Oahu Extraction. That is, whether it's a major flood or, you know, they're forecasting water, sometimes it'll come, it'll rain really hard, and then you don't even know that you've got a leak. It just sort of adds to the problem. You've got a leak somewhere. It's getting in and it's staying in. And when they come in with the hydrometer to check it out, the thermal hydrometer, they can see inside the walls. And they'll come in. If you're uncomfortable having people coming into your home, don't worry about it. They'll check it out at no charge. They're completely COVID ready. They're suited up so that you are safe, okay? Oahu Extraction, completely COVID-19 compliant, protecting you and themselves, of course. Call them, 330-6212. Aloha Power Equipment has what you need at their Waipahu and Sand Island stores. Maruyama and Steel selected products, 10% off. 10% off Maruyama and Steel selected products. Everything you need to weed it, whack it, mow it, and blow it. That's Aloha Power Equipment, your Honda Superstore. And Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe, Hawaii's best value in golf. Double deck driving range with top tracer. Either go play a round of golf, but make your tee time. Call them, reserve it, because we keep all the COVID-19 precautions in place so we can stay on the golf course. BayviewHawaii.com. And Rainer Overhead Door, they are hiring installation professionals. They'll train, but you just have to have some mechanical ability. It's 676-3667. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2020.